I'm Richard van der Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 190. Yes, that is 190 for the weekend starting 8 September 2017.
Only 10 to go.
Only 10.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, real technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, HMD's Nokia flagship.
Also this week, the iPhone 8, Liquid Telecom's fiber expansion, and Showmax to merge with DStv.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to talk tech.
Welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks.
Good.
Before we get to all that news, let's do our quiz. Do you want to start with the first question?
Certainly. The first question in this week's quiz. Apple will announce the next iPhone on Tuesday. Where is this event taking place?
HMD has launched a flagship Nokia-branded Android smartphone, and we're going to be talking about that in a moment. What is it called?
Alviva Holdings, formerly Pinnacle Holdings, announced two acquisitions this week. Name one of them.
And fourth question, which mobile operator's shares tumbled this week after its parent announced it was selling a chunk of them to facilitate the JSE's requirement of a 20% free float?
And the final question in this week's quiz, SpaceX this week brought up the 13th launch of its Falcon 9 rocket. Why?
That's our quiz. As always, we'll get to the answers at the end of the show. So we're doing some great podcasts lately, Richard,
In
the Tech Central podcast series. Had a great interview this week with Michael Jordan, the former FNB CEO and now CEO of Montegre Capital, which is a venture capital investment firm. We chatted about his investments and, you know, the various investments he's made in the South African tech startup space. We also chatted about, we chatted a bit about wine farming, because he owns a wine farm in Stellenbosch.
Nice, yes.
And we talked about crypto money and the impact that's going to have, blockchain and all the rest of it. It's a fascinating discussion. Go have a listen to that if you've missed it.
Yeah.
And we've got some great podcasts coming up as well. Some more on crypto and blockchain. Some really, really interesting discussions coming up. Some interesting people we're going to be interviewing on that front. And a couple of startups as well. So if you don't really subscribe in your favorite podcatcher to the Tech Central podcast, go grab it. Just search for Tech Central in whichever podcast reader you use.
And remember, there's no need to listen to any other podcasts.
Well, we won't go that far. There are some great podcasts out there. So, news. Nokia has announced a new, or their first. Well, actually, let me start again. HMD Global, which is the company that now has the global exclusive license to manufacture smartphones using the Nokia name. Hmm. So it's not the old Nokia. It's HMD Global manufacturing firms using Nokia, although it's still got exactly the same Nokia logo on the devices, has released its first flagship Android device. And it's pretty impressive. It's called the Nokia 8. And this is the first time we've got a high-end Android smartphone from Nokia. Now, I could be argued that they should have done this many years ago instead of going down the Windows phone path, which turned into a disaster. Mm. And you've just had a brief squiz at it, Richard.
Yes, I had an intimate session with it, and it is beautiful. I mean, it's a Nokia-quality phone that's kind of in a Samsung iPhone era. It's a weird combination, but I love it.
It's very nice. I like it a lot. It's got a 2K screen, so, and that's more than enough. I think some of these manufacturers gone a bit crazy with the 4K screens, which is really overkill.
Over the top, yeah.
It's got a 3,100 milliamp thereabouts battery. It's got a Qualcomm 835 processor in it, so it's the highest-end Qualcomm processor, the same chip that's found in the Samsung Galaxy S8 and other high-end smartphones.
Nice, yes.
It's the first Qualcomm 835-powered phone in the market, though, that's retailing for less than 10,000 Rand. It's coming in at about 9,000.
That's going to be a lucrative buy when the new iPhone comes out. At 20-odd thousand
yes,
rand.
Indeed. Well, we'll talk about that just now. 64 gigabyte storage.
Nice, that's good.
4 gigs of RAM. It's running Android 7.1.1, and they say that Oreo is coming soon.
Oh.
Now, of course, this phone, the one biggest selling point, arguably, of this phone is that it's running native Android, vanilla Android.
Which is massive, in my opinion.
There's no skin on this. It's just, this is what you'd get, basically, if you bought a Google Pixel phone.
Mm.
And I really like native Android, I must say. It's clean. It's
a fresh, clean experience.
Snappy.
Yeah.
The battery life on this is incredible. And I don't know if that's to do with anything Nokia's done or whether the, whether the skins that the other manufacturers put on their phones has an impact on battery life, but the battery life on this is quite remarkable.
I think it's a bit of both. Do you, I mean, was this hardware for this phone developed, I mean, to obviously, I guess, take on native Android as they push it out without any modification? Is this almost like a reference design phone?
They work with Google in developing it, and their manufacturer is Foxconn. I think it's using fairly standard off-the-shelf components. It's got a Carl Zeiss optics a camera or two lenses on the
back. I mean, that's like stuff that generic Android would have drivers for, I would imagine.
Yeah, so I've been using this pretty intensively since about 8 o'clock this morning, and it's still on 64%, and it's now 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's good.
So that's pretty good battery life. I've been listening to podcasts driving around. It's.
I'm very intrigued, to be honest with you. I mean, the fact that it's Nokia is one thing. I mean, there's value in that brand for me as a old Nokia user.
Mm.
But for the first time in a very long time, I'm going, and not even Samsung did this for me, but I'm going, that is a very interesting option for me.
Mm.
I like the idea of what they're trying to do there.
At the price point, it's very compelling. I mean, if you consider the Galaxy S8 is about 5,000 Rand more than this.
Yeah.
It's a very compelling offering. But what I like most about it is the fact that you're going to get the latest updates. First of all, Nokia or HMD Global have said they'll push out the security updates every month. So every month you're going to get an update. And they've also said that that you know, very soon after the latest Android releases come out, they'll push those down as well. So Android, of course, Oreo 8.0 was announced not very long ago.
Yeah.
Just weeks ago, I think.
We're going
to
get it.
And I would expect this to arrive on. They haven't given a specific date for Oreo arriving on this device, but I would not be surprised if it comes with the next month's updates in October.
Did Nokia say this was obviously a deliberate move on their part to ensure? I guess they have an offering that not many other guys can do in the industry now. Nobody really has vanilla Android anymore, is there?
I'm sure you can do it.
Pixel's
got it. I can't think of too many other devices that have it.
No big manufacturers do it.
They try and differentiate their offerings through the skins they put on these devices. I suppose if everyone was doing it, then all the phones would be almost identical. But it's kind of unique, even though they haven't done any work on it, just by the fact that everything else out there has got its own skin on it.
So don't take for granted, people are brand loyal and people do like different variations of hardware. They don't all have to be number one, you know. They don't all have to be an iPhone.
Mm.
I think giving me an option as the end user to have the best possible Google experience, because I trust Google's developers more than I trust any other phone manufacturers, you know. And that is very compelling. Maybe it's kind of a techie viewpoint of it.
I think this will certainly appeal to the tech-savvy audience. And I presume this phone, because it's so standard, is very much rootable and you can really play with it down the line. I like to do that with old phones that, you know, I've moved on to a new phone, the thing sitting in the drawer. It's like, let me haul this out. Are there any updates available? Oh, no. No updates, Android updates available. Okay, let's root it and let's put the latest Android on. And you can do that with some, you know, some manufacturers make it quite difficult to do that.
Mm.
But I've rooted so many phones over the years, it's become almost second nature. It's an old phone, I'm going to root it and put a custom ROM on it.
But with a phone like this, you almost don't need to, unless you want something that is going to give you, that's going to give you a custom functionality.
Mm.
But I would love running a vanilla version of that to know that, you know, I can still put on any skin I want on there if I really want to go a little bit exotic. But it's that vanilla experience. You know, if we think of the PC day where everybody had weird grey boxes, what really differentiated, well, the software was all the same, Windows were all the same, but everybody differentiated with their boxes. They, you know, some people modified their cases, but it's all the same software.
Mm. So I'm just going to take it off silent for a minute. Why don't you give me a call?
Okay.
And you must hear this. I hope there's not too much cellular interference on the microphone, but... just to prove that this is a Nokia.
All right, here we go.
All right, about to call. Sorry for the dead air. Eventually.
It's going. It's calling. Oh, that's fantastic.
Now, that's a sound you don't hear around too often these days.
That's awesome.
So it's got that aspect as well. I suppose you can always put the Nokia ringtone on any phone, but...
why would you? It has to be a Nokia.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, when out the box, it's every app that sends you a notification, it makes a sound like the SMS sound that you get on the old Nokias, which is really annoying.
You need to change the sound.
So I changed that, yeah. But out the box has been annoying. And we know people don't change that, which is why you still hear that Samsung wolf whistle around town.
A lot of people just keep it. Same with the iPhones, I guess.
Yeah.
The other thing you didn't mention, I think, on there that I really like is the iPhone port. The headphone port. The one that the iPhone don't have anymore. It's on the top there, yeah.
Oh, headphone jack, yeah.
3.5mm.
USB Type-C. It's got two cameras at the back, Carl Zeiss optics, both 13 megapixel. I haven't played with it yet, but it's got something to do with...
It'll give you the shallow depth of field, I'm sure.
It does that. Functionality. One of them is black and white, one's color.
Yeah, so it also gives you better depth in your images. Mm-hmm. So that's...
And it also has a 13 megapixel front-facing camera. So three 13 megapixel cameras in this device.
That's impressive.
And one of the selling points of this, I hate the term, but one of the selling points of this is that it takes something called bothies. As opposed to selfies. No. So you can use both cameras.
Cannot unhear that.
You can use the front-facing and rear-facing cameras at the same time to take a bothie of what you're seeing and of yourself at the same time. You can also, through the camera app directly, live stream video to YouTube and Facebook Live.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Simultaneously, I presume through both cameras, although I haven't tested that.
Well, I was just going to say, with both, if you can activate both cameras at the same time, there must be 360 functionality in there, or at least an app, because it won't be perfect, but you're just stitching two images, right? And these lenses are quite wide.
Yes. So they've clearly put a lot of work into this. It's a nice design as well. The back is a bit slippery, so I'd want to put a cover on this quite quickly.
But it's thin enough that you can put a cover and not really lose any.
Yes, it's very thin. It's very thin. Remarkably thin, actually. Mm. And the camera doesn't really stick out. It's ever so slightly, maybe one-tenth of 1 millimeter.
Yeah, yeah.
Not noticeable, unlike on some phones where the camera really bulges out.
Color-wise, I mean, that's a bluish back there. Is that going to be one
multiple
color?
No, they've got a range of colors.
If they have like a dark gray or matte black, that could be good.
I know there's a goldish colored one as well.
No, I want a goldish.
You don't want a gold phone.
I'm a fan of the darker colors, the grayer colors.
So you wouldn't go for the iPhone red?
No, I'm not really a red phone. Yeah. But I do like your headphones that you're sporting there, bright red.
Yes, I was in such a hurry to get into the studio today that I forgot half the gear, including the pop filters, by the way. So sorry about all the popping during this interview or during this podcast today. And also forgot my headphones. So I'm wearing a pair of cheap and nasty Chinese headphones.
They look as good as I feel.
Bright red. But great phone. I think this is one of the contenders for best smartphone of the year. It's really nice.
Yeah, like I said, it takes a lot to entice me in the Android side, and I think, that's the one. Mm. I would be very keen to upgrade to that.
Yeah.
And I haven't even played with it. I just looked at just looking at what it feels like, that operating system, yeah.
Mm. No, it's snappy and so fast. And the fingerprint reader is one of the fastest I've seen. To unlock, it's instant.
Wow, yeah, that is quick.
Yeah.
That is very quick.
And it's built into the front of the device on a physical home button.
In the front, yeah.
I've been using the Samsung S8 for a couple of months now, and it's muscle memory, but I keep like, where's the fingerprint reader on the back?
I actually
like the fingerprint reader on the back.
I've never had it, so for me, my instinct is the front, middle.
I suppose it's instinct at the end of the day, but I find I have to move my hand around to get my thumb onto the...
It's definitely more awkward than the back frame.
The back actually makes sense, and next to the camera makes sense.
I think it does change the dynamics inside the phone. I mean, everything has to be moved around.
But a nice phone, certainly a contender. And
I'd love to hear the battery life ongoing. Would be interesting.
Mm, yeah. Well, we'll have a proper. I'll write up a proper review of this in the coming weeks. But so far, so good. The battery is very good. One of the best I've seen on a smartphone. And it's only a 3,000-odd milliamp hour battery in here.
Memory can't be expanded, can it?
Yes, it's got an SD card.
Oh, the SD card, okay.
Yeah. So it's 64 gig, which is a lot of space. And then you can expand. I'm not sure how much you can expand it by, but I'm sure it's at least 128 gigs.
Yeah, you can go up to 256. I'm sure most of these new chipsets would handle it.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I ask is I just reached my phone for the first time in years. It's telling me storage full, and I've got a 128 gigabyte.
Oh, wow.
So I've got
The rumor is the new iPhone 8 is going to come in a 512 gigabyte version.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It'll cost about as much as your house, but...
That's going to be the 30,000 rand iPhone option, probably.
Probably. But let's talk about that iPhone, because there is a rather important announcement happening on Tuesday in the evening our time, happening at Apple's new headquarters in Cupertino, I think it is. I think that's in Cupertino.
Mm.
And we are expecting not just a new iPhone, but also a new Apple Watch. Do you have an Apple Watch?
No. Never took a liking to the things. prefer my tech old school.
So the rumor is that the Apple Watch 3 is going to come in an LTE version. So this will be the first time you'll be able to use it without having to pair it with an iPhone.
I can see the value in that, yes.
I suspect as the first version with cellular built into it, the battery life is going to be shocking. I can only imagine a device that small.
Maybe unless they know how to power it down when it's hot in use.
They're going to have to use some pretty fancy tricks in software, yeah.
I can really see a massive benefit, and this, they obviously thought about this. A lot of parents are going to buy this for their kids because it means you'll be able to track them very easily. not for anything malicious, but yeah. I mean, it's a very, very useful function. I don't know if you use Find My Friends or if you've had used Find My Friends on iPhone, but it's handy. It's a really handy feature.
I use Find My Phone on my Garmin watch because I can have my press the button.
Nice.
So, yeah, Apple Watch, it'd be interesting to see what they bring to the Apple Watch. I still feel no desire to buy one.
But I don't wear a watch normally, so I'm not even in that market.
I didn't used to, but since I started wearing a GPS sports watch, I wear it all the time now because it tracks your...
Your heart rate, yeah, that's
it. Tracks your heart rate, it tracks your steps.
I've always found when I type on a keyboard, especially because I'm on a Mac, you know, I don't like it scratching on so I find myself taking my watch off the whole time and I just... Okay. Don't put it on again.
Yeah, and I suppose you've got a clock on your computer.
Yeah, exactly.
So Apple Watch, of course, we're going to see an update to iOS. That happens every year at this time. This year it's going to be iPad friendly. It's going to be a major update for iPads.
I'm looking forward to that.
Going to make the iPad a much more productivity orientated device. It's getting a lot more sort of Mac OS like features, including a task bar. What do they call it on Mac? What a dock. It's getting a dock.
The dock.
Other multitasking capabilities. So maybe it'll be more useful as a work device rather than just a media consumption device, which is what I use mine for. We might see an update on the HomePod. Possibly. I mean, they announced that earlier this year.
We don't really have one. Doesn't really entice. It's intriguing, but I want to see this thing. Yeah, bring it to South Africa.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll come here. I mean, they bring all their other products here. I suppose it's just the local integration work they need to do. But I suspect we're going to hear something about the launch date of the HomePod now. Probably before Christmas.
Maybe.
I'd still rather have an Alexa, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so too.
Of course, there's going to be an update to Mac OS, the desktop PC operating system called High Sierra.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one as well.
I haven't really looked at what's coming in it. Is there anything mind-blowing?
No, I can't really tell you now, but I've heard some really good things in terms of just performance issues. Okay. Obviously, visual tweaks are always really interesting.
They always do that, don't they? Have a big feature update and then they have a performance update.
Yeah.
So this is the performance update.
Yeah, that's it.
So less features, more tuning.
Yeah, indeed. I'm quickly calling up a list for you if you just quickly want to see what they are.
Sure.
Do you still use a Mac at all?
I don't. The only Apple product I currently use is an iPod. iPad.
Okay, so this was a big thing that I remember hearing about the new file system, HFS Plus.
Oh, that's right.
Which obviously is going to have the performance improvement that you'd want to see with changing the entire architecture of the operating system, at least. So that's going to be interesting. They're also moving that to iOS, so it's going to be a universal file system across both. Safari obviously is better. Videos. They're obviously working with the codecs. The new H. If you are into the video side of things, H.265 is replacing. Well, it's a new standard that replaces H.264. Will work in concurrent codecs as H.264. Which is one of the things, if you export video a lot, it really shrinks your video quality. So a 4K video, you know, you don't want a 3 gig 4K video. You want 700 meg 4K video. And then the new codec I found, the 265, has really worked well. So the integration into operating system will be fantastic.
The compression on H.265 is very good.
Yeah. I've seen improvement in the videos that we've been exporting using Adobe tools. So.
Okay. So those are the biggies.
Yeah, those are the biggies. I mean, they've got some graphics performance with Metal, which is the graphics engine that you see displayed. So maybe we'll see better games coming to you as well to the Mac OS, which will be great.
But of course, the big announcement on Tuesday is the next iPhone, and there haven't been any real leaks, have there? I mean, we know a lot about what it's going to probably be, but we haven't seen a photo of it yet.
I've seen mock-up renders. One of
they're all renders. They're all
well. I've seen renders, physical renders, 3D printed.
Okay.
This YouTuber MKBHD, one of the guys I love to follow, he actually has a few sent to him. Somebody gets whatever information they have online from case manufacturers, and they actually then use that specification and mock up a wooden or metallic block, trying to get it as close to the real thing as possible. And the physical renders he had was quite interesting. I mean, it's obviously what you'd expect.
Edge to edge,
beautiful. I mean, similar design, but just obviously more enhanced. And seeing the cameras at the back, those two cameras.
Oh, of course, two cameras, yeah. But OLED screen on the high-end one. We don't know the sizes yet, do we?
No, I haven't seen anything about it. But I would imagine it would be same as what we're seeing now.
The rumor is three phones, the successor to the 7 and the 7S, and then this 10th year anniversary iPhone that's going to be much more expensive. The rumor starting price of around 1,000 US.
Might be the one that's gold, full gold, like they've done before.
I don't think that'll be $1,000, like 10,000. But yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, the smartphone industry is not you know, the stuff's not revolutionary anymore. It's just iterative improvements over time.
Look, it's still speculative over the AR VR integration. I mean, there's been a lot of rumors about them taking this to the next level and really integrating it as a consumer
AR. They're talking
viable
about
AR.
I don't know. Are you going to use AR? Is it something that's
Well, I don't know. I'm yet to see real practical applications. Like, how would I? But I would imagine
to see a dinosaur walking across my coffee table. I don't know. I think the appeal of that would—I'd lose I'd lose interest quite quickly.
No, for sure, for sure. Look, it would be interesting to see how they would integrate something like that. Would they be developing applications? Would they enhance current phone functionality, or is it something that various social media application developers or any app developers come on board early and produced as a range of software for it?
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll be announcing. I'm sure they've been working with third-party app developers, and they'll tout some of those on stage on Tuesday.
It's
called AR Kit, isn't it? It'll really be up to the third-party developers that can come up with cool stuff for it. All the tech giants are working on this stuff as well.
So I'm just quickly showing you the physical renders that has been made. Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of in line with what the speculation is talking about. Yeah, with a screen that curves around the top, around the
Now, what is interesting, if you look at the front side, I mean, there are sensors. I don't think all of those are cameras. It definitely seems to be sensors. So whether those are augmented reality sensors or sensors that are aiding that type of thing is still speculative, but I would imagine they would come to the party with something.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to announce an Android version. Just kidding.
What if they say you can now dual boot your phone? Boot camp.
Boot camp.
iOS.
They'd never do it. We've met Windows Phone Edition.
Somewhere a parallel universe is spinning off right from this moment where that would be possible.
Indeed. Somewhere in the universe, Apple devices run Windows Phone.
we in the universe where it doesn't happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, what else can we say about the event on Tuesday? I think that's about it. Apart from the fact that it's going to be held at this new super duper spaceship campus,
underground campus event,
the Steve Jobs Theater. It looks pretty amazing,
fascinating looking building.
Suggestion that the chairs that they built put in the 1,000 seat auditorium, the speculation is the chairs that went in there cost something like $8,000 each.
What, that's ridiculous.
The campus itself cost $5 billion.
Well, they need to put their money somewhere.
Dollars to build. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, they're making so much I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'd love to get a tour of that of that campus at some point though in the future. Must be amazing to see.
We're driving in with a Tesla, ideally.
Yes.
Let's stop at the Tesla factory first, then go to the campus, and I can do it. Let's do it.
You do know what they say about companies that build flashy new headquarters, though? Very often they get into trouble after that because they're focusing too much on the bling
too much on the one thing. I'm sure they could pay top dollar to the right people to build that place for them, and they can just stand back and enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Have you been to Apple's old current headquarters in the US?
No.
They're very. I've been there once about 3 years ago. They're very. What's the word?
Low-key?
Understated. Low-key, that's the word, yeah. Very low-key. You kind of drive through the suburb and the next thing you know, there's Apple.
I went to the Microsoft campus in Seattle many years ago, and that's the same thing. It's just beautiful ground. There's, apart from the Microsoft signs everywhere, but there's no massive branding or Google complex type, you know, people running around in weird bikes and stuff. It was very like university-like feel.
Yeah, and there's no security and high fences or anything.
No, no.
I mean, the Apple, you literally walk up to the front door, no problem. There's no security.
Well, that'll change with a new building, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it looks a bit like Fort Knox, doesn't it? But the old campus, you just walk up to it.
Yeah,
walk
yeah.
right past the offices. It's amazing.
And if you have a key card, you can go into any building.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Awesome. So that's the Apple announcement on Tuesday. Will you be watching live?
Yes.
Me too.
As always. But yeah, I'm still looking at that Nokia. That thing is interesting. It's really made me...
It's shining on the table here. Like
it that. Is. It is. No, I'm very impressed with it. I think it's... Yeah, iPhone 8 is going to have to really impress me. Although it probably will. But yeah, that's going to be a much better way of spending my money, to be honest.
Twice the price, yeah. Twice the price. You have to sit back and say, is that iPhone actually worth it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's wait and see.
If you're a fan of iOS, though, if you
Look,
prefer
I do
iOS,
love it, but I mean, at which point do you draw the line?
Yeah.
At which point do you say, 20,000 rand? I mean, unless I get it on a really good contract deal, definitely not going to be able to buy it cash. That's just who spends 20. I would rather buy a new MacBook, to be honest with you, for that price.
Oh, that's sort of
spend some more money getting a new MacBook.
Mm. Indeed. All right, we need to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. BitCo.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Welcome back to the show. How's it, Rahat?
How's it, Duncan?
Good, thanks. Had a great chat with Willem Maree, who's head of business, newly appointed head of business development at Liquid Telecom, which used to be called Neotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are ramping up their investments here in South Africa. They're expanding their data centers. They've announced they're going to be a cloud service partner for Microsoft. The rumor is that they are one of the data center providers for the Azure data centers that are coming to South Africa, although the company won't confirm this.
Interesting.
It's Microsoft keeps the stuff top secret, but there's so much talk in the market that that their Cape Town data center is going to host one of the two Azure data centers, the other one being up here. Still don't know who the other one might be.
Neither was a reason got fiber.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So the talk is probably around March next year. They're going to start provisioning it.
Wow, okay.
So it's coming soon. And then OneDrive will be much more usable than it is today. Much faster.
But they need to up their software interface as well.
With Windows, if you're using Windows, the creators update that's coming on the 17th of October is bringing much better integration between Windows and OneDrive.
Nice, yes.
And you no longer have to sync your files. I mean, you don't at the moment, but it's a bit clunky.
It's very clunky. Compared to Dropbox, it needs a lot of current ones.
So in the fall creators update, which should be called the spring creators update in South Africa, you go into your file explorer, and your cloud files are shown there, even though they're in the cloud.
So if
you want to use something, just pull it down. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah, that's with Dropbox at the moment. You have to unsync the stuff that you don't want, and you don't see it unless you go to the web interface.
Yes, that's exactly how OneDrive works and Google Drive. And I see Google Drive is no longer going to be developing PC apps and Mac apps, which is interesting.
PC and Mac apps.
PC and Mac.
So they're obviously going to they're probably going to build it into Chrome or something.
Oh, possibly. Not sure.
Lasting Hangouts is already integrated to Chrome very nicely. Yeah. You don't need to install the app separately. It looks like a separate app, but it's not.
Possibly. Chrome becoming more like an operating system.
So which do you use? I mean, we're digressing a bit, but
no,
Google
fine.
Drive, Dropbox, which is your...
I don't use Dropbox. I still use Google Drive a lot. I've got about 115 gigs of storage on Google Drive without paying for anything, but that's because one of the phones I bought some time ago came with free 100 gigs. So I'm using that, but I think it expires in the middle of next year. And after that, I'm probably going to have to stump up some cash.
You've got a fiber download just to download everything if you need a backup.
I may actually just move across to OneDrive because the Azure data center will be here by then. I get free 1 terabyte of storage on OneDrive thanks to my Office 365 subscription. Yeah,
which is a fantastic package.
That's a great deal. You're paying R1,200 a year for a terabyte for Office, and you're getting a free terabyte. Mm. Google Drive for a terabyte is $1,599. That's all you're getting.
And what I'm getting with Dropbox, I think, is just over $100. Because I've got the Rat Pack feature, which is the archive feature, which gives me unlimited revisions of all my files down back to the last year,
Okay. Which
is the best feature ever, and one of the reasons why I would find it hard to move away from Dropbox. Because, I mean, I can find files that have been deleted, so my team works on my Dropbox shared folders. So if anybody deletes anything or any files get changed, I can revert to any revision, which is a big godsend
if
you've ever worked on any large files.
I mean, the short answer is I'm mainly using Google Drive because of the speed.
Mm-hmm.
But once OneDrive offers the same performance, which will happen after the Azure data center comes in here,
I'm
probably going to use OneDrive 95% of the time.
Interesting. Yeah, I hope they improve it. I might look into that. But I do use Google.
Do you have an Office 365 subscription?
I do. So I have one. I have access to all three. I mean, I pay for Google as well, so I don't actually know why I do currently pay for all three of them. But I do use, like I said, Google Photos. I back up all my photographs from my iPhone, which I must actually try with Dropbox, but I don't think Dropbox does it as nice as Google Photos does, because everything just gets synced automatically. And I'm talking about 5-6 years worth of photos on my iPhone, which is always handy to be able to get back to and have it backed up. But I don't use OneDrive at all, so it's Dropbox and Google Drive.
Of course, the photos, Google Photos, it's free unlimited backup if you don't save them at original resolution.
But I do.
Oh, do you?
I'm a photographer.
Okay.
I save the original.
I mean, it backs up my photos at a width of 4,096 pixels, which is pretty...
Which is pretty big, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. No, I definitely wanted that extra, just keep the original stuff.
Full original quality.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. I'm talking about Liquid Telecom. We started talking about cloud services. So they've announced that they're going to be expanding their terrestrial fiber network. They've already worked with Vodacom and MTN and SANRAL on a number of projects, including the fiber that runs between Durban and Mtanzini from Joburg to Mtanzini via Durban. That's the cable route that connects to Seacom and Easy and Safe. Undersea cables. They've also run two cables down to Bloemfontein, one via Kimberley and I think one along the N1, and then an onward route down to Cape Town. And then on their own, they've built quite a lot of fiber as well in the northern provinces, in the northwest, with spurs up to, so through Rustenburg, Mahikeng, up into Botswana.
Wow.
They've just completed a leg from Gauteng to Zimbabwe through Messina. And they've also built a route from Polokwane through Tzanin, and then down to Nelspruit, and then up to Ermelo. And now they're going to build the next leg, which is from Ermelo down to Ladysmith, and then from Ladysmith onto the cable that connects with Joburg to Durban and Mtanzini.
Talk about going for the outlying areas. I mean, that's fantastic.
Well, this is national fiber, so it's hooking up all these little towns.
And
some not so little towns along the route, along those routes. And, you know, this is the first time we're seeing the sort of infrastructure being built. I mean, Dark Fiber Africa has done some of it as well, of course. But this national sort of scale and these remote provinces and stuff, it's the first time anyone other than Telkom has deployed fiber along some of these routes. So it's providing much needed competition. And of course, their Telkom infrastructure, some of it's also quite old. Some of it's run aerially. These guys are trenching all this fiber. They work with SANRAL, so they just follow the national routes all over the country.
That's clever.
And SANRAL doesn't want poles next to their highways for obvious reasons.
For sure. But we know trenching is much better.
Indeed.
But I'm fascinated, and I'm still fascinated by the fact that my mom's home, the town where my mom stays, Uteneg, old Uteneg in the Eastern Cape, has got fiber. I mean, that I never would have
fiber
thought.
Fiber to the home.
Fiber to the home, they just...
Who's the provider?
Telkom.
Okay. But
Telkom, I think they had a big problem with copper theft in the areas, and they were quick to convert part of Uteneg at least there's a big hospital there and a few other things. Right. I think they just converted and said, yeah, let's just get it in.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so much, there is so much deployment going on. I mean, we don't see it so much here in the northern suburbs of Joburg anymore because it's largely finished. But you talk to people in Cape Town or even some of the smaller cities, and there's the activities moved there. There's lots of trenching going on, and fiber to the home is being installed, and the links are being built between the cities. And it's all, I mean, all this infrastructure going in is just going to make our internet better.
It is. Imagine, I mean, we often talk about this with great love, but it changes your life. Having a fiber connection changes everything. Yes. If you're an internet connected person.
Yeah. It's that upload speed that does it for me. Yeah. I mean, all the, just the ability to watch 4K video without buffering is just amazing. But it's that upload, the fact that the DSL is so slow on the upload.
It is, yeah.
It's painful. So going from fiber to, sorry, going from DSL to fiber is like going from dial-up to ADSL.
Oh, yes.
Similar sort of jump.
No, your voice out into the internet or your pipe out needs to be solid.
Yes.
Makes a big difference.
Yes. So Liquid Telecom making some interesting investments just post their Neotel deal, which of course they concluded not that long ago. I think it was back in February. And they're pumping money into this economy, which is great news, especially given how this dire state of the South African economy. At least there's one sector where there's lots of investment happening. The last story on the news agenda this week is something that really fascinates me. It's an announcement. It wasn't actually an announcement. It was some internal communication, which we got a copy of. That's saying that Showmax is going to be merged into Naspers's MultiChoice. Of course, they're both owned by Naspers.
Sure.
Showmax was created, when was it, a year or two back?
About two years back now.
And they were created separately to MultiChoice. And the talk then for that decision was that, well, we need to encourage a sort of creative destruction within the organization. If we put them inside MultiChoice, they could get stifled. And, you know, we want to free them to allow them to make decisions independently of MultiChoice that might hurt MultiChoice.
Yes.
But, you know, so it made a lot of sense, the sort of creative destruction within the organization. They've now decided that we're not going to do that anymore. So they've obviously decided that it wasn't working for whatever reason. We don't know what the exact strategic reasons were for this decision. But Showmax is going to be folded into DSTV Online, or DSTV Digital Media, or whatever it's called.
No, that's interesting.
Where the DSTV Now product sits.
Do you think they're just going to rebrand this to DSTV Online type thing and sell whatever bouquet they can that's not licensed for the satellite service only? And then they're both to their DSTV package.
I imagine a lot of this is to do with cost cutting. Maybe Naspers believes that the costs have just run away at Showmax. I don't know. I'm speculating. I mean, it's obviously expensive to run a big separate company like that with its own overheads and all that sort of thing. So by moving it in-house, they can certainly do away with a lot of the overheads. You know, that they can have a shared resources, shared HR. Shared
that usually dilutes the sharpness of the company too.
Yeah, so now that it's part of DSTV and going to be reporting into the same people, one wonders whether, you know, if there was that creative destruction going on, or that element of Showmax being independent and being allowed to compete is going to go away, or whether it never really existed because they were part of the same company anyway, and ultimately they did have the same boss in the form of Naspers CEO Bob van Dijk.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting though, one of the quotes in the article say that, you know, they bring the two together to create a new digital division, which makes me think that it's going to be a stronger DSTV play. Obviously, Showmax has got the expertise and they've got the infrastructure and they've got... Because Showmax is a good service and I really like that service. But DSTV needs to... What is their next big play? It's also online. And I don't think they would be able to compete directly with Showmax. Why would they?
Yeah. I mean, they've got DSTV Now, which I use quite a lot, actually.
But I'm not a DSTV subscriber, so I don't have access to it.
Well, of course, DSTV Now they should make available as a standalone product.
But they would compete with Showmax, won't it?
Does it matter? I mean, it's different. It's a different product offering. Showmax doesn't have live sports, for example.
True.
I think.
But what if it did?
DSTV's got much more current content. Yeah, what if it did? I mean, Showmax is more of a video on demand thing. It's not really a live TV thing. DStv now is more of a live TV product, although it's got the catch up element to it.
But I've never thought the DStv platform, the DStv online, when I used it many years ago, and could have changed. You let me know. But it was never as strong. It was always a lame attempt at a Netflix style service. Showmax got it right.
Catch up, you mean?
Catch up, yeah. DStv catch, not the PVR stuff, but the stuff you get online. It was always an archaic website.
No, it's improved a lot. It's improved a lot. If you go onto DStv now and select the, well, I'll show it to you after the podcast. I've got it here on my computer. Mm-hmm. You go into the catch-up component of that rather than the live TV component, and it looks good. It looks like a Netflix type interface.
So you can actually tune into live TV as well?
You can watch just about every channel on DStv Premium, yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that's much better than what I thought it was.
Yeah. No, they've improved the product a lot. It's not all of it's HD yet. They've just started to introduce HD on some of the channels. I think it's been more pitched as a away from home, watch on the mobile type of solution. And I think they've started to realize that people are actually watching this on their big screen TVs at home because, like me, I'm too lazy to pick up the remote and press
exactly.
Switch across to the decoder because, actually I want to watch two things at once. I'm kind of keeping an eye on the news and I want to
picture in picture.
Yeah. And I use it a lot at my desk. I've got three monitors on my desk. Sometimes I just throw DStv Now onto the
screen. You mean the Starship Enterprise? That is a big monitor you've got on your desk.
Yeah, it is. So I throw DStv Now. It's if I want to watch the parliamentary channel, for example, although I don't think that's on DStv Now. I usually fire that up in YouTube. Yes. But if I want to watch ENCA or CNN or something, I'll pop it onto my third monitor and it'll be playing there, streaming, while I carry on working. And I think a lot of people use it for that. I watch it in the lounge as well because I've got a computer connected to my TV. So let's browse through, see what's on DStv.
You don't need your PVR anymore. You don't need a decoder.
You don't. You throw up the rugby on half the screen. On the other half of the screen, you could be reading the news.
Man, I wish they would open the sports channel. You know how difficult it is for me to watch? I mean, I need to go to a pub and drink beer to be able to watch.
Oh, what a tough life.
Look, it is tough.
Someone has to do it.
It's a lonely life too, you know. My wife doesn't want drugs, so I have to go It would be nice to be able to do it at home.
Yes.
DStv, do that.
Yeah. It would be fantastic to have an unbundled Supersport only on streaming.
Oh, yeah.
So
you
subscribe just to Supersport.
Exactly. I mean, people will pay money for that.
They'll pay probably 300 rand a month for that.
Yeah,
if
definitely.
Not more.
Oh, I would even pay-per-view matches. I mean, I would pay, what is the ticket price to attend the game? $300 for a Springbok game, maybe?
Easily.
You know, I would pay... I wouldn't say I would pay $300, but I would pay maybe $150, $200. I think that's a pay-per-view in America is kind of equivalent. I think it's $10, $20, $30, if I'm not mistaken. $50 in some of the big ones.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would go for that. I think a super sport only streaming option would be very well received by people in fiber neighborhoods. I think a lot of people would subscribe to Super Sport online. And Netflix, for example. Netflix for the entertainment, Supersport for the sport.
But isn't that what MultiChoice is afraid of? Because you would lose that other half of that. You would lose the other 350 Rand or 400 Rand that makes up that normal subscription.
Yeah,
so that's going to go to Netflix.
It's true, but I think we're rapidly reaching a point where they need to start to say, either we do this ourselves or someone does it to us.
Yeah.
They're very protective of that premium revenue. They won't unbundle Supersport, for example, and offer it to other providers. I think it's almost like an old telecom type of mentality. And I think they're going to be forced to change. I think that through competition and way the market's changing, I think that it's at some point they're going to, and I think they should do it sooner rather than later so that they do it rather than someone else, but start to think about how you can package your products differently, make things available in the way that consumers want them rather than making them available in packages that suit your bottom line. Make them available in clever ways that may in fact boost your bottom line at the end of the day, because people say, hey, it's all I actually wanted was a Super Sport thing and I'm going to pay $350 a month for it, which may actually be more than they might be able to charge a premium over its value in the bigger bouquet in terms of the content that's being provided and the cost of that content that's being provided. I mean, I'm not an expert on these things and I'm sure that MultiChoice has... I'm sure their management has thought this through every which way and they think about this every day. But I do think that they, just as an interested consumer who watches the space quite closely, I do think that they may be missing a trick if they don't if they wait for the market to move rather than moving before the market forces them to.
Yes. Well, look, I will, and by example of what you're trying to say, I would give them a freebie, and this is an idea that I wish they would implement. The way that you adapt to your customer, and I was talking about pay-per-view earlier, but the kind of sports that I watch, you know, is kind of seasonal stuff, like Springbok Rugby. Mm. Give me a season pass. I pay X amount of money. I'm able to access each of the games over the period of time. It's almost like a pay before you enjoy the game type of thing. Now, you can do that with Olympics. You can do that with cricket. You can do that with anything. So now you're really catering to the guy at the end of the day who wants just to consume that sport. You know, make it available for me. Otherwise, I'm going to try and find it elsewhere. And you're still not going to see my money. If I go to a pub, you don't see any of my money. You know, whether that pub pays for a license to broadcast, that is.
Well, I do. Also, I think they play a premium license, actually. There's a special business license for that content. So, you know, the pub owner is going to be paying multi-choice a lot more than you do.
Maybe. I mean, how are we talking about thousands of rands? That's interesting. Yeah,
I don't know how much it costs, but there is definite premium.
But I mean, I would pay season pass or even per game, and I think on demand is where everything is going. Mm. You know, but Showmax has been doing a great job. They've got a lot of firsts. They've got a lot of good content. Mm. The interface is improving. I can imagine why DFT want that IP.
I see Showmax is getting Mr. Robot season 3 exclusively.
Yeah, and that's first. A big one. Yeah. Just shows you the power of marketing.
While we're on TV, by the way, have you all been watching Ozark?
Yes, finished it. I loved it.
That's a brilliant show. We're about two-thirds of the way through season 1. I don't think there is a season 2 yet.
No. Yeah. It isn't.
It just launched quite recently on Netflix.
Yeah, it did. I'm terrible like that. As soon as something new comes out, and Netflix has been fantastic recently. Yeah, South African Netflix, by the way. I can't access the US one anymore, but it feels like we've got all of this stuff.
No, it's great.
Our fingertips.
Yeah, and they're catching up. I see House of Cards season 4 has landed. I still need to watch that whole thing. I've only watched the first 3 episodes of season 1, and I've been meaning to watch.
Oh, that's fantastic! Yeah.
I still got to catch up on Game of Thrones. I'm three seasons behind on Game of Thrones.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what happens at the end. Please don't turn off the microphone. Okay,
don't switch off this podcast.
It gets better.
Rechid is not about to do that.
Spoiler alert!
Otherwise, I'm about to kill him.
look, let's just keep it in the family. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
But Ozark is fantastic. It reminds me a bit of Breaking Bad, actually.
And I like the concept of these series that Netflix is really investing the time in. It's bingeable. It's a good sessionable program. Mm. You know, you can watch a few or you can watch all of them. The pace is usually good, and they've got really good actors in them. Yeah. Is it Jason Bateman in this one? Is it?
Actually haven't checked.
From Arrested Development, I think it's him. Yeah.
Might be. Not sure. But it's a great show.
It's great. Absolutely great.
And what else have you been watching? Anything interesting?
Game of Thrones has been big. I've kind of been enjoying Ballers as well. Don't laugh at me. Ballers is The Rock. He's a football player, financial advisor to some of these American football players. It's a bit of a guy's program, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of The Rock. I find his humor quite interesting, and I always laugh at his stuff. That's been quite a nice one to watch. But yeah, Game of Thrones, definitely Ozark. And there was one more. Drew Barrymore did one called Santa Clara's Diet. Diet.
I watched the first episode and I thought, this is gross, and I stopped watching.
Absolutely.
Is it worth persisting? Because it just seemed a bit.
Look, it's soft. I don't know. It's not everybody's taste, but, you know, I'm a slapstick comedy kind of guy and I can appreciate where. I can appreciate what they were trying to do with it. And I thought it was great. I thought it was. Nice Hollywood style zombie.
Yeah. have you been watching? Do you have Amazon Prime at all?
No, I actually haven't signed up for that. You don't need a VPN for that, do you?
No, it's local as well.
Really? I must actually look into that. Do they have anything? I mean, I don't know much of the exclusive. I mean,
yeah, they've got some nice shows on there actually. I've been watching quite a lot of it. American Gods. I've just finished that.
I watched a bit of it. It was a bit weird.
The season stopped suddenly.
I think they're coming back next year.
Yeah. But it was quite good. You know what's coming soon is on Netflix is that sci-fi season 2 of Stranger Things.
Yes, Stranger Things. What an epic.
That was fantastic.
Program, yeah.
So well done.
The soundtrack
just made
was
you remember
fantastic.
Back to your youth in the 1980s, right?
Yeah, the 80s music was something. Yeah, definitely. That is a great one. I actually just looking at my... one that I watched recently was the new... you know, Netflix has been doing a lot of comic book character style programs. There is...
Yes.
And now all of their names have completely escaped me.
Amazon's got one too now called The Tick, which I haven't watched. I'm not a huge fan of comic book stuff.
Anyway, and they just did a... so there's Luke Cage, which is one of them. Anyway, they did a collaboration where you have one of those... we have a lot of these Marvel characters, you know, all in the same program. I like what they're doing.
That's some great stuff coming out. Of course, Narcos Season 3 has landed as well.
Oh, yes, yes. And I have already finished it.
You finished it already? Good grief. That was quick.
Fantastic. It's fantastic. No, we can watch a few at night. I don't sleep much when these things are up.
Right.
It's great escapism.
I was wondering whether the show would go downhill after they killed off the
oh, yes.
What was his name? the main protagonist in the thing. The big drug dealer dude.
Why can't I think of
it? It's a Friday afternoon. Afternoon.
It's been a long day.
Season 3 is good, is it?
Yeah, what I like about it is they take the concept further. Pablo Escobar, that's their name.
Pablo, yes.
But now that Pablo's out of the picture, obviously the next kingpin, I think it's El Chepi or something like
that. Yeah, the ones who sort of emerged in the
wake of Pablo's
wake of
death.
What Pablo
Pablo's
left death, yeah. Filled the gap.
Yes, yes. Mm. The Cali Cartel.
The Cali Cartel. And they, of course, were introduced in the second season.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, I mean, there's a very nice, what they do really well, and there's been a lot of movies around Pablo Escobar and Narcos. I mean, if you look at Netflix alone, there's a whole bunch of movies. It can get quite confusing.
Yeah.
But what they've done very well with the Narcos range is they got consistency in some of the characters. So the main protagonists are the guys throughout. And like you said, you know, you have these cartels going. They had the foresight to know that this is a Netflix series and they're going to be shooting a couple of seasons. But let's tell the whole story. And now it's obviously the evolution. It's not just about Escobar. It's about the Colombian drug trade and the American politics around that. I mean, it's fascinating. This stuff really happened.
Yes.
Crazy.
Look forward to watching that. I might make a start on it this weekend. I'm just having a look through the Netflix originals here. They've just added so many shows that in the last few weeks even. A show called Easy. I think they've got Better Call Saul on there now. Something called Icarus.
Yeah. Icarus is also good. I really watch a lot of Netflix, don't I? This is quite frightening.
It's becoming clear that you are a Netflix junkie.
Look, they do have good stuff. Yeah. They do. I mean, and we're talking about years of... I mean, once you've watched the old catalogue, just catching up on new things are quite easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got a very solid lineup these days. And they change. It's nice to see how they change. There's always new stuff, you know. I'm always... Yes. I do love the way that they lay out. When I open my Netflix browser and they... show me the stuff that I like to watch, you know, they kind of just push the stuff to you.
The personalization is very well done. Very well done indeed. So that was the Show Makes DSTV merger and an extended discussion about TV shows.
Yes. And your comments, welcome.
Of course, info@techcentral.co.za. Have you seen something cool that we have not mentioned on this podcast? Please let us know. Our winner and losers this week, we don't actually have a winner, and our loser was obvious, Bell Pottinger.
Losers.
Yeah, it looks like they're going out of business.
Trying to sell it, I believe, but yeah, nobody's going to buy it.
No one's going to buy it. Well, the latest speculative reports out this morning saying that they had a couple of people sniffing around, but they've walked away. So the company is in dire financial straits, all because of the work they did here in South Africa.
And it just shows the power of South Africans when they come together and the noise we can make.
Power of South Africans, the power of social media.
Now, if we can just sort out... the upper echelons of government.
Yes.
We'll be fine.
Let's redirect away from London now, back to Pretoria.
No, let's not lose sight of what's really important.
What's your pick this week, Rafa?
All right. So I've just shown you my new portable phone charger. And I've just passed it to you.
Not very portable.
Not very portable. So I've been playing with this thing called the Yeti 150 from a company called Goal Zero. Now, they make a variety of what we call them power sources and power adapters and solar panels, and I mean it's a very nice range of outdoor rugged power sources that you can they catering to the kind of guys that go on overland adventures that kind of thing. So the Yeti 150 is one of the products that it's essentially it's a heavy battery in there. They're working on the lithium ion. It's going to be
Is it lead acid?
No, this is lead acid. It's very heavy. It's lead acid. They are working on a lithium ion version, but that's going to be quite a bit more pricey.
I'm sure.
And I'm just quickly looking up the prices. This unit goes for 3,500 rand, which isn't actually bad. Then you get the, I mean, these are all parts. So what's nice about the whole Goal Zero range, it's like Lego. You can mix and match certain things. So there's a solar panel that you just unfold. Very nice quality. I really like the, it feels rugged and durable.
Do you know how much that solar panel costs?
I'm going to give you the pricing very soon. So 3,500 rand for the battery. You can plug in your notebook. You can do a 12-volt cigarette adapter.
Yeah, this thing.
I'm charging my phone off it now.
I mean, looking at the size of the thing, I'd imagine this could, you could charge your laptop 20, 30 times over with this thing.
Yes, definitely. So I haven't had a chance to really test the battery and kind of drain it completely. But look, I mean, it's a whole bunch of chargers, and they do have these in various. So I mean, this is the 150, but they have small power bank like units, which is the size of a brick. That offers similar functionality. Obviously, all of these just range in
so is this the biggest one they do?
No, that's a 150, which is one of the smallest ones they do.
I mean, this thing weighs about 6-7 kilograms, I'd guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just quickly looking up the 8150. Okay, like I said, it's about 3.5. If I'm the solar panels range from about 1.8 for a small size to about 4,000. I mean, okay, this is just for this one range. I'm just trying to find the one stat here for you on the Yeti. So what's, it's a 150 watt hour battery that's in there. And you can obviously charge a variety of things.
It's got a cigarette port, lighter port on the back. It's got
I don't have the actual stats for how long, but look, I mean, I'm going to give you some feedback on this. I am testing. I'm doing a long-term test on this now. I've only had it for 2 days. But look, it's been taking everything I've been throwing at, and it still hasn't. Yeah. I mean, I probably have had 7 hours on it.
Universal plug port on the back as well, so you could plug in. I don't know if you could put a South African plug in there, but you could.
Not a South African, but most things you want to charge is 2-point.
You could put a 2-pin in there, but it'll certainly take American, European, probably most of the world standards.
Yes,
and
yes.
A max power output of 80 watts, so you could put a pretty powerful light in there as well.
Powerful light. I mean, this is if you go camping a lot and you want to still stay connected and charge everything, and this is the kind of thing you want.
I think if you're camping, it's fantastic. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, definitely. Even keeping one in your car, perhaps. I mean, you never know when you need to work and you're out in some place and there's no power, or even if the power's off at home. I know you got some big batteries at home that you run everything off.
Oh, those things are massive.
But they're not portable, right?
No. In fact, one of them is so big you can't pick it up by yourself. It's too heavy.
Yeah, they come with wheels.
At 120 kilograms or something.
Look, I'm going to put a link. We'll put a link on. If you want to go check them out, check out kind of the range and the pricing. I'll give you some feedback on this. This is a very interesting brand, and I like the look and feel of it.
It's nicely designed, yeah.
It is very nicely designed. It goes well with the Mac. But definitely very interesting that you can charge your drone batteries off this too. Now, drone, obviously my other passion. If you go out into the middle of nowhere, charge all your camera, drone, computer batteries. This is the thing. That's the Goal Zero Yeti 150.
Cool. My pick this week is, have you ever wanted to know what network a phone is on that you're dialing, or you don't recognize the number and you're not sure what network it is?
I have, because I just hear that sound before, or I used to hear that little...
Yeah, which means someone's ported their number. On many networks, you get deals where you can call on network for a certain... for free. Many of the operators are offering on-net free calls or discounted calls. You pay less when you pay on network as opposed to going to another network. Now, South African website called freecarrierlookup.co.za not only looks up South African numbers and tells you whether they've been ported to another network, and if they have been ported, to what network they've been ported, but it works for most numbers anywhere in the world. So freecarrierlookup.co.za, so they've obviously plugged into the number portability company. I ported my number and I typed it in, and sure enough, it got the ported networks. It wasn't based on the number itself. The 082 in my number would suggest Vodacom, but I'm actually on another network. And when you type my number in, it tells you what network I'm on. So it's quite a nifty little service. You don't need it all the time, but it's useful to keep in your bookmarks, in your browser, for those occasions when you do need to check a number.
That's interesting. Geeky. Love it.
Yeah. And it's not just local numbers. I mean, if you see a number and you're not sure what carrier it is, for example, sometimes you don't know the number you're calling in Europe, for example, is a landline or a mobile number. And phoning a landline is a heck of a lot cheaper when you're calling internationally than calling a mobile number.
Yeah.
So put the number in here, it'll tell you what network it's on.
Oh, that's a cool function.
freecarrierlookup.co.za. I'm not sure who developed it, but it's very useful. And that's my pick. And I think that's our quiz, that's our show, apart from our quiz results. Let me kick off with the first question this week. Apple will announce the next iPhone on Tuesday. where is the event taking place? And that's at the Steve Jobs Theatre, the new Apple Park campus.
Looking forward to that one. The second question this week's quiz. HTMD launched a flagship Nokia-branded Android phone this week. What is it called? The answer there is the Nokia 8.
And we'll find out in next week's podcast whether Rechard will be buying that. Or
yeah. All will be revealed. Stay tuned.
Alviva Holdings, formerly Pinnacle Holdings, announced two acquisitions this week. Name one of them. The two acquisitions are Syntrex and the other one is Gridcars. Gridcars, interesting looking company. They develop software for electric car charging stations.
Oh, cool. The fourth question, which mobile operator's shares tumbled this week after its parent announced it was selling a chunk of them to facilitate the JSE's requirement of a 20% free float? The answer there is Vodacom.
And the last question in this week's quiz, SpaceX this week brought forward the 13th launch this year of its Falcon 9 rocket. Why did it do that? And the answer is because the launch was being threatened by Hurricane Irma, the most powerful Atlantic storm in recorded history.
Yeah, what an incredible storm it's been. I mean, it's actually been devastating.
I don't know if you know these weather sites that show you real-time live data of the weather.
Yeah, we've spoken about a few, yeah.
Yeah. My favorite is something called VentureSky. If you go to, let me just get the correct address here, it's VentureSky.com, VentureSky.com. And it gives you real-time data of temperature, rain, clouds, wind speed, air pressure, thunderstorms, waves, snow cover, and freezing level.
Is this pick 1B, 1A?
This is my second free pick of the week, extra bonus. It's fantastic.
That's an awesome map. I like that.
If you scroll up and across to near Florida, you'll see Hurricane Irma currently grinding its way north of Cuba and heading on a direct course towards Miami. And at the current estimates, if you use there's a little slider at the bottom, you can drag it across.
To get the timeline.
To see the future forecast of where this hurricane is going to be. And if you drag it across to Sunday morning, which I think this timing is our time, drag it across to Sunday morning, you'll see Hurricane Irma sitting on top of Miami. Ooh. With sustained wind speeds of 250 kilometers an hour. So Florida's in for a rough weekend.
Sure, that's not going to be good.
No. Fantastic website, though. I use it all the time. VentureSky.com.
Absolutely beautiful, too.
Stunning, yeah. And that is our show. As always, if you've got any feedback, please drop us a mail, info@techcentral.co.za. We'll be back next week with the pop filters this time. until then, from Rechard and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.